After a few seconds, one of the Rousties began to stir. Jack drew a bead on the slowly moving man with the python, but held his fire. He could see the killer was unarmed and had no fight left in him. Head down, the Roustie crawled over to Balduna's trailer and meekly climbed into the cage. After he pulled the door shut, he threw himself belly down in piles of shit and tried his best to become invisible. The remaining four were playing possum. Seeing one of their own make it to safety, they struggled to their feet and staggered away. Jack and the lion followed them around the trailer. They watched the beaten quartet limp across the compound. The chillers neared the foot of the berm.
"Don't shoot! Don't shoot!"
They started clawing their way over the rubble to the top. Jack raised the big Colt in a two-handed grip, bracing himself to take out targets of opportunity as the other group of ambushers laid down covering fire for their friends. Heads and weapons popped up, but there was no shooting. None of the Rousties on the berm wanted to fight the lion. They knew they couldn't defend themselves. All they wanted was to get as far away as they could, as fast as they could. The berm top shooters abandoned their cover and set out across the plain on a dead run, with their injured comrades trailing behind.
Et toi!
What the? Where's Scaly?
Jack pivoted. He looked at the Rousty cowering on the nasty floor of Balduna's cage. The man was alone in the enclosure. The sideshow mutant was nowhere to be seen. Then Jack saw the door standing slightly ajar and the sprawl of a bullet impact, a bright splash of lead where the cage's locking bolt had been. When Jack bolted out, Ryan raced out of the tent after the armorer and Doc. As JB sidestepped, squaring his shoulders to the target, scattering flechettes across the top of the berm, Ryan ran past him, turning left around the candy-striped tent's perimeter, taking the point. As Ryan rounded the curve of the big top, clouds of black powder gun smoke and yellow muzzle flashes obscured his view. Bullets whined across the compound, ricocheting and kicking up dirt. Ryan could make out three carny wags parked in the ancient road that ran between the first rows of plant beds and the burger extravaganza. The wags were pre-dark RVs, refitted Winnebagos. Rousties fired from behind the steel-armored wheel wells and massive I-beams. They were absorbing fire from a small group of villagers strung out along the plant bed's low cover. At full tilt, Ryan could see dead and wounded carnies on the ground. The loot they'd been carrying lay in the dirt beside them, caught with both hands in the Bullardville cookie jar. The Ville had dead as well, some of them shot to pieces. Other Rousties were still moving booty into the Winnebagos under a hail of bullets. It was hard to say who was winning this war. Two rows over, Ryan could see a small portion of Vilsec systematically popping away at the looters with hand blasters. From the care they were taking and the number of dead, they were no doubt the most skilled marksmen in Bullard. The companions ducked as a wave of Rousty's return fire trimmed clumps of leaves and stems and exploded ripe tomatoes overhead. With covering fire from their sharpshooting pals, Vilsec were filtering through the rows of beds at the far end of the compound. From there, they were crossing the main street and circling the other fast food buildings to outflank the looters and attack them from behind. Bullard's fighting force advanced like a seasoned army, leapfrogging with precision from hardcover to hardcover. The younger kids were keeping well to the rear, in a position to put up shielding fire if the folks forward had to suddenly pull back. The companions needed to move to two beds down. That would block the Sekmen's line of sight of their only route to the parked wags and escape. Ryan led Dean, Lilu, and Christy across the gap between the beds. They made it without a problem. However, when J.B., Mildred, and Doc followed, all hell broke loose.
It's the other ones! They're trying to get behind us!
Shit!
J.B. shoved Doc face down in the dirt. In the hail of bullets, half the sheet metal awning ripped loose and tumbled onto Dean and Lilu. Ryan kicked it aside. He and Christy could only fire blindly over the top of the bed, unable to raise themselves to take proper aim. Slugs were chewing great chunks of wood out of the top edge of the frame, inches over their heads. Ryan stopped firing and pulled back the SIG P226. Down the row, JB, Mildred, and Doc were likewise pinned down.
Ryan, what are we going to do? These people want our heads!
The Sec force is about to flank the looters. Once they close in and lower the hammer, the carnies are dead meat. When that happens, we're going to have a whole bunch more pissed off folks waving blasters in our faces.
What are we going to do?
Dean,
Yeah, Dad.
Make a break for the circled wags. Take the little girl with you. Find Jack. Go with him, get out of the Ville. We'll track you down and meet up later.
But Dad!
No arguments, son. You've got to take Lilu and run. Don't stop for anything. You wait for my signal and then you go. You understand?
Yes, Father.
Satisfied, Ryan signaled to JB, pointing at Dean and the girl, then behind them in the direction of the tent and the parked wags. JB nodded in agreement and then turned to Mildred.
Millie, it's time to make a break for it.
Sure thing, John.
The armorer took out his technoknife and with a single swipe cut himself free of Doc. The old man was down on his hands and knees, swaying back and forth, mouth in constant motion, seemingly unaware of the hailstorm that surrounded them. The one-eyed man held up his hand so JB could see it. Five fingers extended, then four, three, two. On one, he rolled to his right and came up running.
Now, Dean!
Come on, Lilu!
But I...
Dean yanked her by the arm and led her away. Ryan was well on his way, with Christy right on his heels, charging into the wide aisle. The Ville shooters hiding behind the bed in the next row gave up their cover to get a clear shot at the rapidly closing targets. As they popped up over the greenery, they had expressions of righteous fury on their faces. Nobody was going to steal from them. Nobody was going to bushwhack them. Nobody was going to trick them.
Die, fuckers!
Crossing the strip of open ground, Ryan wondered why the Bullardville Sec Force hadn't kept to its cover. There was such a thing as being too confident or mistaking dumb luck for skill, letting a few successes go to one's head. And there was such a thing as liking the heat of battle way too much. No matter how you spun it, jumping up to shoot was a bonehead move. As the sharpshooter's blasters blazed, so did Ryan's. He ignored the hot lead roaring past his ears. The SIG in his fist bucked and cycled, as he pulled the trigger as fast as he could. A 9mm slug from his hand blaster ripped a big chunk out of a tall man's upper arm. A red mist sprouted from his shoulder. The tall man stopped firing and twisted away, clutching at himself, his hand on the wounded side dangling uselessly at his hip. Ryan's next shot hit him in the right cheek, just below the eye. The back of his head blew away, popping the eyeball from its socket. A fraction of a second later, a guy in patched bib front overalls absorbed a center body hit, doubling over, clutching at his stomach, and showing Ryan the bald top of his head. The second round crashed through his skull. Two strides later, Ryan was vaulting the still-kicking bodies and cutting around the end of the bed. As he did so, Christie's 38 barked in rapid succession. Six hollow-point slugs clipped through the greenery. Two sailed high and wide, but four hit the flesh and bone of the Whoremaster and two of his best gaudy sluts. Suddenly, small, round beauty spots appeared near the center of each of the sluts' foreheads. Big holes cratered the back of their skulls where the mushrooming hollow points exited. They dropped their battle-scarred Walther PPKs and made stiff, awkward curtsies as their knees buckled. Their asses struck the ground at almost the same time, dead before they hit the dirt. The Whoremaster O'Neill was slammed twice in the chest, 38 slugs coring both lungs. Ryan rounded the end of the bed. As he did so, Melchior and two other Ville bigwigs, having stood up to confront their attackers, were now backing up at top speed, trying to retreat to the cover of the next row, firing wildly as they went. Melchior's ponderous bulk lurched to the side as a blast from JB's scattergun caught him in the torso, under the left arm.
Fuck!
The impact made the flab of the headman's face shudder. He lost his grip on his Ruger. It went flying end over end. Before he could recover his balance, he was struck at the knees. Clutching at his ruined legs, he went down without another peep.